You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Hour number two of Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hite right here on The Roar. Folks, if you have real estate needs in the upstate of South Carolina, you need to go with Morgan Coleman. We're kicking off a new season, which is the winter season in the real estate market, and it's important to get ahead of things, whether you're a buyer, whether you're a seller, whether you're just inquiring or you're planning to list in the future. Get with an expert and make sure you're on top of things with Morgan Coleman Real Estate. It's super easy to get in contact with Morgan Coleman. Four words on Google, Morgan Coleman Real Estate. That's about as simple as it gets, folks. She's going to talk Clemson athletics with you as a former Clemson women's soccer player herself. She's got a very team-oriented approach and is going to take care of you with an expertise in the area of the upstate as a native who has been here her whole life. Go with the best. Go with Morgan Coleman for all your real estate needs here in the upstate at Morgan Coleman Real Estate. All you got to do is Google those four words. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. We've talked to Tigers and Gamecocks. We'll get back to a couple points on that, and obviously that's going to dominate a lot of the discourse throughout the course of the week. But John, before we take Ron's phone call, we have to talk about this because this had me glued to my phone throughout the course of yesterday. This had all my group chats blowing up, as I'm sure yours were the same, with a couple ties that you've got out in Oxford. Lane Kiffin has done the classic Lane Kiffin, and he has hopped to LSU prior to the college football playoff. It is the best season in the history of Ole Miss football. 11-1 regular season. They were a tiebreaker away from playing in Atlanta for an SEC championship game. They are a slam dunk home run 100% lock to play in the college football playoff in a couple of weeks. Lane Kiffin has accepted the job at LSU and will not be coaching this team in the college football playoff after him and the athletic director appeared to get into a little bit of a spat over it. This was Kiffin's official statement. I was hoping to complete a historic six-season run with this year's team by leading Ole Miss through the playoffs, capitalizing on the team's incredible success and their commitment to finish strong, investing everything into a playoff run with guardrails in place to protect the program in any areas of concern. My request to do so was denied by Keith Carter, despite the team also asking him to allow me to keep coaching them so they could maintain their high level of performance. Unfortunately, that means Friday's Egg Bowl was my last game coaching the Rebels. While I am looking forward to a new start with a unique opportunity at LSU, I will forever cherish the incredible 6 years I spent at Ole Miss and will be rooting hard for the team to complete their mission and bring a championship to Oxford. I've defended Lane Kiffin the entirety of the time I've been blessed with a microphone here at the station. I like Lane Kiffin. I think Lane Kiffin is good for the sport of college football. The online theatrics, the trolling, the not taking himself too seriously, the just kind of general memery of the existence of Lane Kiffin. And on top of that, I think Lane Kiffin's a really good football coach. I don't respect this. I don't respect the way that he's conducted himself here. I don't respect the move that was made. I won't sit here and say that I don't understand it, but that doesn't mean that I have to like or respect it, John. And I'm disappointed that this is the way that things have transpired because, again, the best season in the history of Ole Miss football now has a dark cloud placed over it because of one person's decision-making.
You know, I don't have a problem if you believe that LSU is a better job than Ole Miss. That's you have every right to think so. And based on the contract details that are coming out, yeah, man, a lot of people would take that job. $13 million per, and there's a clause in there that if he wins a national title, his deal automatically gets reworked to where he's the highest paid coach in the country. I get it. But, man, playing the victim is where he completely lost me. Because I've been in your camp as well. I have defended him. I think what he did for Ole Miss was great. But he still also has zero conference titles, zero division titles. Still doesn't have a playoff appearance as a head coach because he will not be there with this team. I think the thing that bothered me the most about all this, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you take a job, okay, that's fine. In a crazy coaching carousel with the best contract out there, okay, That's fine. I get it. We have a lot of people talking on the Adams Roofing text line right now. I blame the college football calendar. Yeah, the calendar is completely broken.
Yeah.
And we're gonna figure it out again in real time over the next month and a half how broken it is. The thing that drove me the craziest about all of this was the college game day set on Saturday, and all of them up there saying that, well, why shouldn't Ole Miss just let him do whatever he wants? See, that really bothered me because everybody on that desk is represented by the same man who represents Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
It's a conflict of interest. And I just, like, we're taking the fact that Ole Miss doesn't have a say in the matter. Yes, Ole Miss technically forced the timeline of this with the ultimatum, but they should have. This is a rivalry. Like, let's go back a year ago. Clemson backdoors their way into the college football playoff. But Dabo Swinney accepts the North Carolina job before Bill Belichick takes it. Would you have wanted Dabo Swinney to coach the playoff as he's going to go to another ACC school while probably trying to take Peter Woods and TJ Parker and Avion Terrell and Cade Klubnik and Adam Randall and everybody else with him? No, you would not want him to coach those games.
Nobody
would
want
that. So why is it okay for Lane Kiffin to get to keep this job while being the active head coach at LSU, a border state rival, to convince Trinidad Chambliss and all these other players on Ole Miss's team and coaching staff that, hey, man, let's just do this while we're working the portal for LSU? That can't work. And I thought it was incredibly disingenuous by the game day people, especially Nick Saban, who fired Lane Kiffin 9 years ago for doing the exact same thing by making what he's going to be doing at his next job more important than the job that he's currently doing. I think for Ole Miss to have a chance to win playoff games, this is the best case scenario. Because you've removed the guy and all the other people on that coaching staff who cared more about the next destination than the current task at hand. I don't think it's a surprise that Pete Golding got this job, because I think there was a real rift in that building of people on Lane staff be like, what in the world are we doing engaging in a coaching search when we're trying to pursue a national championship?
And that's the thing for me is, all this is the number one takeaway for me, and maybe this is just the way that I view it through my lens. This was the culmination of everything you have built at Ole Miss for 6 years, and you just said, see ya, peace.
Yeah.
And I get it, like, $13 million a year is more money than I will ever touch per year in my life, regardless of what I do. It is. That is an obscene and ridiculous amount of money that I am aware, I am not in the shoes to where I am accepting or declining that. I get it.
Sure, yeah.
That's a ridiculous amount of money. He's the second highest paid coach in college football. Objectively speaking, LSU is indeed a better job than Ole Miss for just about every way. And with that being said, there's better facilities. There's a better athletic department. I get it. All of that can be well and true, but you have built this thing from the bottom up for 6 years. You have changed the narrative on yourself as a human being, on yourself as a football coach, and on yourself really as somebody that can win the big game. Ole Miss gave you the platform to do that. Ole Miss was the one that took a chance on you. Ole Miss gave you the leash and gave you the resources and gave you the players and the NIL money and the donors and the funding. All of this was represented by Ole Miss and Oxford to get to this stage, and you finally get to the stage just to bolt? Really?
Well, and also all the pieces that were written over the course of this season, ESPN doing an actual documentary on the new life of Lane Kiffin, how he's more mature, how he's a different person. And then he goes and does the same thing again. Like, I don't care at the end of the day that Lane Kiffin wants to be the head coach at LSU. But how you treat people should still matter. And I mean, we've gotten some texts like, you know, Austin gets it on the text line. I still think they should have let Lane coach. They're going to poach the players regardless. That may be true. That's probably true.
That probably is true.
But you know what? If I'm Ole Miss, I'm going to have a little bit of pride in myself and not just allow him to do it. You've allowed him to do whatever he wants. At some point in time, we all have a breaking point. And Ole Miss hit theirs, and good for them for realizing it. If you felt that is something that is not sustainable, man, you don't have to let him do it.
Yeah, and essentially as well.
It's your football program. It is not his. It is Ole Miss's football program, not Lane Kiffin's.
And when you're doing that as well, if you, let's say hypothetically that people on the text line, and there's a mixed bag, which I'm glad there is, because I know people have different perspectives on this. You are essentially giving your rival's head coach a platform to coach on the biggest stage in college football if you allow him to coach. You are saying, here's the LSU head coach coaching our program on the biggest stage. Everybody should go see how good he is at coaching so you can go play for LSU next year with their $25 million roster war chest that has already been made public information. You cannot do that. And you know what? I respect the heck out of Ole Miss's athletic director for putting his foot down and saying, it's not worth our pride. It's not worth sacrificing the fact that we are probably little bro, which is the reality of the situation, to let this guy walk all over us. So respect to Keith Carter and respect to the Ole Miss administration. Because guess what? I think there's a lot of people that would have bent the knee in that situation. I do. And Ole Miss did not do it. And I respect the absolute heck out of that for Ole Miss. I really do. They made the right decision to not let him coach. You want to go let Lane Kiffin advertise for all these people in the portal to go play at LSU next year on national television while 20 million people are watching? And every kid in America that's a high school football player is sitting there watching Lane Kiffin coach while actively signed to be a head coach of your rival school? Like, oh, it just makes my, like, it makes my blood boil even thinking about that reality. I'm so glad Keith Carter put his foot down.
Like, it's one thing to have John Sumrall, if Tulane wins this week, to coach Tulane in the playoff while being the coach at Florida. That's just so different than being an actual rival school. You couldn't allow that to happen. You couldn't. There's no way that Keith Carter could have kept respect in that community if you just continue to let Lane do whatever you want, because then at some point, Pete Golding probably been like, you know, this ain't worth it. Then what candidate would you have hired? Like, I know that there is a lot to be do about the playoff run that's about to be had, but you also have to field this job moving forward. We're not folding the program. This isn't the end of Ole Miss football. And so you can't treat that Lane Kiffin moving on as the end of the program. You had to do this. Lane forced your hand, and then he got mad that he forced it. This is all on him. This is all self-inflicted. I mean, outside of the game day crew absolutely pining for him, I think the most disingenuous part of all this is Lane coming out in that statement and framing himself as the victim.
I agree.
He did this when he left Knoxville. This is what he does. Does whatever he feels is in his best interest and can't understand why other people have a problem. It really bothered me. All the documentary, and I fell for some of it. That he's a different person, that reconciling with his wife, that this is a more mature version of him. No, it's not. It's the same guy who left Knoxville in the middle of the night to go to Southern Cal.
Yep. And Texter gets in with an analogy that there is some commonalities, but maybe this helps frame it to some people at home. Anybody who says that he should have been allowed to coach needs to ask themselves, if their wife told them she was leaving after Christmas but wanted to stay for the holidays, what would they tell her? I mean, there's been a lot of analogies thrown out on the internet that I'm sure y'all have seen, and we're not going to say on the airwaves, but yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on this situation too. You want your cake and you want to eat it too. Like, it's that analogy at the end of the day. And for me, it is still it's the buildup, and it's the fact that you did everything you did at Ole Miss to get to this game. This was the game. This was the moment. This was the culmination of every moment that you have lived in your life for the last 6 years. Personal life, coaching life, walking in the facility, getting off the plane, going on recruiting visits. Every single moment that you have lived your life for the last 6 years, if you are Lane Kiffin, were in build-up and anticipation to take this program to the college football playoff. And you did it. You finally did it. You got the quarterback. You struck gold in the portal. The lines of scrimmage are there. You've won the big game. You've lost one game all season. It was to Georgia by 8 points. It's the best season in the history of Ole Miss football. And guess what? It's still not enough for you. It's still not enough for Lane Kiffin. It's still not enough. I'm not going to act ignorant. I'm not going to say that I don't understand taking a $13 million per year paycheck, and I don't understand the reality in which you take an objectively better job. I get it. But that doesn't mean that I can't be disappointed in the decision. And I'm disappointed in the decision. I'm disappointed for the community in Oxford. I'm disappointed for Ole Miss fans everywhere. And again, it wraps back to me for that one thing, is that you built this up for 6 years to get to this one game, and you bailed on your team before the game. And then you played the victim and said that things are about relationships in this industry. What the heck do you think is happening to your relationships on the way out the door? You're quitting on your team before the college football playoff to go take a job at a rival. What are those people going to think of you? They're going to think that you're a phony. They're going to think that everything that's come out of your mouth the last 6 years when cultivating those relationships has been fraudulent. That's what they're going to think.
Unfortunately for him, he doesn't care. He doesn't care because he didn't care what the people in Knoxville thought when he left to go to Southern Cal. He's not going to care about what the people in Ole Miss think. If anything, he's going to use their emotions as a rallying cry for LSU, as he should, because it's a rivalry and a heated one at that. We got to take a break here, but I am excited on the other side of this break. We got Bengal John on hold. I want to hear from an LSU fan's perspective how they feel about having Lane Kiffin be their new head football coach.
Agreed.
Who, his first opponent, oddly enough, will be these Clemson Tigers in week one in LSU's Death Valley.
We're going to take Ron and John's phone call on the other side. And listen, before a quick break, I'll take a giant objective step back. Great hire for LSU. It's a great hire. I'm not dumb. It doesn't mean I have to like it, but I'm also not a dumb person. That's a great hire for the LSU Tigers. So we'll get Bengal John in here on the other side. We'll also take Ron's phone call as well because he's been hanging on for a minute. If anyone else would like to join the program, 654-ROAR is the number. You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John right here on 105.5-97.5 The Roar.
Football season's in full swing, folks, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. And Feast Week is back, which means it's an even better time to get in on the action because from November 26th through November 30th, you can check the app daily for special promos. I love playing Underdog. It's a great place to play for as little as a dollar. You just go higher or lower on stats for your favorite player, like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, and more. College football and the NFL, I'm all over it. If you get your picks right, you play a little better than I do, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. Right now, here's what you need to know. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code OOB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/ playing at terms underscore DFS underscore .html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
Be home for the holidays with a brand new home in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson. The Sunrise Community by Empire Homes has move-in ready homes for sale, which means you can be moved in and unpacked before you welcome guests for your year-end celebrations. New reduced prices plus a 2-to-1 buy-down mortgage incentive with a starting rate of 3.99% means big savings for you. The community pool opens in 2026. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com to explore these new homes at sunrise.
Attention Orange Nation fans, Cade Klubnik here. I get asked all the time where I got my beautiful truck. It's the same place you should go, Fred Caldwell Chevy in Clover. They took care of me and they'll do the same for you. So Orange Nation, do like I did. Go see Martin McKinley. He makes it easy, speedy, and transparent. Even if you belong to Maroon Nation, go see Martin at Fred Caldwell Chevy and Clover. EST. Easy, speedy, and transparent.
Upstate Cycle in Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Looking for easier parking with 80 to 100 miles per gallon? Then check out our wide selection of scooters. With many styles, colors, and price ranges to choose from, we stand behind the quality of each scooter with a comprehensive warranty and dedicated service. With an assortment of accessories, a broad range of parts, we have you covered. Delivery is available. And don't forget to ask about our layaway plan. Call 864-232-7223 for more information.
Get ready for the City of Malden's Christmas Parade, Saturday, December 6th at 2, brought to you by the Malden Chamber of Commerce. Rolling from Golden Strip Career Center down Holland Road to Bridgeway Station. Presented by the Roar FM. Details at maldenchamber.org.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold-free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty, and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Fall means football, and the Tigers roar loudest here.
Klubnik takes a shotgun snap, back to throw, going to throw it deep, down long, there's Wesco, catches it at the 40, off the races, he goes, touchdown! Wesco from 76!
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number two of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hyatt continues right here on a Monday morning. It's the start of a new month, December 1st. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving with their family and friends. Let's get Ron and Aiken in here very quickly, then take Bengal John, Knowles fan, and Jason. Phone lines are loading up. If you'd like to get in with us, 654-ROAR is the number. Ron, thank you for your patience and hope you had a good weekend, brother.
Man, it was fantastic. Nothing better than being with family and seeing feathers all over Columbia, South Carolina.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that.
I was excited about the game Saturday because of I'm thinking we saw a glimpse of what our defense is going to hopefully continue to evolve to. I mean, Brown and Woodhaz and our bats were off the chain. It's like they were playing with their hair on fire. And I thought they did a fantastic job. We got to give a shout out to my Carolina Panthers because they did pull the big upset. And am I right in saying that I am seeing the future of my college and my pro teams here develop, or is it just a one hit wonder type of thing? And as far as Lane Kiffin goes, next man up is all I say. Let's go get him and humble him. Nothing that man does surprises me. I know we got to play LSU in the Valley next year. Let's go get them.
Yeah, it's, as far as the development thing goes, I think the last 4 weeks of the season defensively were elite for the Tigers. And it's not to say that, you know, that didn't come without certain coverage busts. Maybe you got away with a couple against Florida State. But what you saw was an immense amount of growth and development from this unit throughout the course of the season. And I think you have a really exciting and enticing group of young players coming back next season that have some untapped potential. And I think you're going to supplement that with players that Tom Allen sees fit from a profile standpoint. Point in the transfer portal. There's a lot of excitement surrounding that. As far as the Lane Kiffin thing goes, yeah, there's nothing I want more than for Clemson to go beat him in game one, week one next year. Like, there's seriously nothing more that I want. I think it's an exciting opportunity, and the first time Lane Kiffin coaches in Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge is probably going to be under the lights against the Clemson Tigers and Dabo Sweeney. I mean, you talk about a primetime football game with a ton on the line. Holy moly, am I excited for that one, Ron. It's going to be a treat, and it's going to be a blast in Baton Rouge.
Absolutely. And one thing, too, got to give a shout-out to our basketball team. I just hate that the girls came up a little bit short,
yeah.
But they were playing number 20 in the country, and I think that's going in the right direction. Everything seems like it's trending great for the Tigers. As always, you guys are giving excellent commentary. Have a good one.
Yes, appreciate that. Thank you for the kind words, Ron, and great points on basketball as well. Yes, Clemson blew out Alabama A&M on the men's side, and then they blew out Western Carolina on the women's side. Took an 8-point loss yesterday in the Bahamas to number 20 Michigan State. When the AP poll updates, the Tigers are now going to have 3 losses on their resume, all the top 15 teams in the country. So again, you're handling business against who you are. You're showing competitive efforts against the ranked teams that you played on the women's side. So safe travels today for Coach Poppy and the ladies, and William Quackenbush as well, coming back from Nassau, Bahamas. Great trip out there for sure. John, anything else to add before we take Bengal John's phone call on Ron's commentary? I thought there was a lot of accuracy in that. Nope. All right, let's get Bengal John in here. John, I know you probably heard the last segment, and I'm not exactly happy with your head ball coach, but I think from an LSU standpoint, it would be ignorant to say that you didn't make a great hire. So congratulations, brother. It's the Lane train in Baton Rouge, and I'm interested to hear your commentary on this, man. What a chaotic couple of weeks in the LSU football coaching saga.
Yeah, so I've been very, very close to this. I think Walt knows that, and you guys probably know it as well. And I'm not super thrilled at how it happened, but I've got a couple of comments, and then I'm going to make a statement. The first comment that I'm going to make is, I'm not sure how anybody would have handled this, given that his eyes were somewhere else. And approximately a week ago, I really thought the guy was going to get cold feet and stay at Ole Miss. And I thought emotionally, I think you could see that by him avoiding to answer any questions in press conferences. And then if you look at a lot of the things that he said outside of press conferences, I mean, via Twitter or social media, he was very conflicted. I think there is some sincerity, not to ruffle your guys' feathers, but I think there's some sincerity in the fact that he wanted to coach his team. He felt very, very close to that team. And amidst all of the chaos that was outside saying that there were players wanting him gone and their fans were wanting him gone, and if he's going to be a defector or a traitor, whatever, you know, a lot of people were basically saying, get the heck out of here. But at some point about a week ago, he seemed to be fairly steadfast in the fact that he wanted to coach his team. He realized what the accomplishments were. He understood the magnitude of what this could mean for Oxford, Mississippi, and the university. And I think there was some sincerity to that. My second comment is, I don't know how you do it, how you make a move. I guess you sit there with a poker face and act like you're not leaving, and that gives you the opportunity to coach your team through the playoff, but that doesn't work either. So I just, there were things that kind of backed him into a corner. I'm not really defending Lane. I get it that it was a kind of a crappy way to do it, especially when Verge Osbury and the search committee, which consisted of John Carmouche, Ben Bordelon, the other guy who's a big businessman, I can't remember his name, basically told him 3 weeks ago when this search began, hey, we'll take all the time you need. We'll wait till January. We'll pass up the early signing day, or Wednesday, the signing day, and we'll pass up January, the transfer portal. You do whatever you need to do. We respect that. So that part is the part that kind of muddies the water for me. It's not the fact that he made the decision to go to LSU. It's the fact that he had ample time given to him by LSU. If you want this job and you still want to coach your team, we're willing to let you do that. And I think there were extenuating circumstances, guys, that pretty much backed him into a corner. I mean, you've got to make a decision, because if you don't make a decision, you're not coaching here. And you possibly could lose the opportunity to coach at LSU. So I don't know how you handle that. I don't know how you do it gracefully. So, yeah, I get it. You guys are upset about it. I think there's a lot of people that are upset about it. But I don't know what path you could have chosen to make it any more smooth. If you wanted to coach, I guess you keep your poker face on and you don't let anybody know that you're leaving. But I don't know how you do that and take the LSU job. So I think it was kind of precarious. I mean, throwing all the darts at him, that's fine if that's what you want to do. But he's been successful everywhere he's been. Even USC wasn't a disaster. And then he turned FAU into a powerhouse 3 or 4 years or 7 years ago. And they were definitely not recognizable till he came along. Yeah, he's left in the middle of the night, got fired on the tarmac, all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is he's a pretty dadgum good coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's objecting the quality of Lane Kiffin and the pedigree that he brings as a head coach, John. I mean, I think it's an A-plus hire for LSU. And I do think there's some truth of your commentary, right? I think that there's more mutual blame here than many would probably be willing to admit. But I can't sit here in good conscience and blame Ole Miss for being very frustrated at Lane's decision and the timeline of the decision that was displayed. And also, what message does it send to your fan base? What message does it send to the residents of Oxford? What message does it send to your athletic department if your head coach accepts a deal with your rival and you continue to let them coach on the biggest stage in college football? I don't blame Ole Miss for a minute for putting their foot down from an administration standpoint and saying that they're not cool with it. Even if LSU was cool with letting him, you know, coach things out, I'm not cool with that if I'm an Ole Miss fan. I'm sorry. If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I'm waking up this morning and I fully understand why Keith Carter put his foot down the way he did. I stand with Keith Carter on that decision. So
I agree with that 100%. I agree with that 100% simply because that's a benefit to us.
Yes.
Okay? Getting him there in Baton Rouge. I mean, that's a great benefit to us. And you got to look at it. I mean, this was one of the biggest coups in college football history. I mean, LSU played this deal right. I mean, they literally played this deal right. And prior to all this, paid off Brian Kelly, which was a huge question mark. I mean, a week and a half ago, we're in the middle of a lawsuit trying to figure out whether it's for cause or not for cause, and did he fulfill his contract, and is he out looking for a job? But LSU said, you know what? In order for us to do this, we've got to wipe the slate clean. That part I like.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of truth to that, and it's just there's so many different dynamics that are being balanced in the situation,
I mean,
and equation, John.
It sucks. It truly sucks for Ole Miss because, if you look at who was on that plane yesterday, he's taken basically all the offensive staff. I mean, it leaves Ole Miss in a lurch. And even though they're our rivals, I've got friends that graduated from Ole Miss, so I don't hate them. But I'm just telling you that I'm not sure that there was another way to do this without messing with, you know, without stepping on people's toes. And I can't wait to hear from Jason. I love that guy. He's awesome. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you getting in with us, John. And yeah, listen, if I'm an LSU fan, I'm obviously not upset at the fact that you just poached what they view as Little Bro's head coach and you're taking him to Baton Rouge. And I would probably share a pretty similar sentiment to the, you know, what John is electing to take from a viewpoint standpoint on this. But again, that doesn't mean I have to like it or respect it. And that doesn't mean that I don't stand with Keith Carter in the decision he made, which I fully believe to be the best decision for the future and the present of Ole Miss athletics. Like, this is a selling your soul type of conversation is what we're having. If you let Lane Kiffin coach when he has agreed to terms with a contract to be the head coach of a rival school in your conference, you are selling your soul. That is essentially what this is. And Keith Carter put his foot down and said, no, not me. I have to live here. I have to live in the city of Oxford. I got to go into these small businesses that Lane Kiffin has befriended the owners of. I have to go eat in the restaurants. I have to go shake the hands of the donors. That's Keith Carter. Keith Carter doesn't get to get on the plane. Lane gets to leave all of this behind and not have any of the collateral past the ESPN interview with Marty Smith. It's out of sight, out of mind. It's already behind him. He's off the plane in Baton Rouge. They already have commits to LSU that he's flipped. He is on to the next chapter. For Keith Carter, he is staying at that post of the athletic director at Ole Miss. I respect the heck out of Keith Carter. That's my main takeaway from this. I would have done the same thing.
One thing that I do want to point, and listen, yeah, it's a good hire for LSU. And I think, you know, I understand a lot of where Bengal John's coming from. The one thing that I find just absolutely hilarious is all the grandstanding that the governor did a couple weeks ago about, I will not allow another contract like this to come around where we're going to pay all this buyout money. Well, Lane Kiffin joins Georgia's Kirby Smart as one of the only coaches making at least $13 million per year. The deal includes an 80% buyout if LSU fires him without cause, which would be less than Brian Kelly, but it does not have a mitigation or any offset clauses, like kind of what had James Franklin forcing him to take a job and not just sit around and collect money from Penn State. You gave him the perfect deal. So it seems great now until the next perfect deal comes around. Or if LSU's tired of him like they were tired of Brian Kelly by the middle part of year two, which a lot of that was on Brian Kelly because he's just an unlikable person, you're going to pay another astronomical buyout on top of paying an astronomical salary. So I hope it works out. Because if not, you're on the hook for even more money.
Yeah, there's a lot of accuracy to that. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to chime in. We got to take another quick break. We'll hit Knowles Fan and Jason in Columbia on the other side with Facts and Childress and John Height. You're listening to Facts on Sports.
For Christmas, treat her to a special day of relaxation and rejuvenation at Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's best spa 13 years in a row. The Lilia Day Spa staff can restore her mind, body, and spirit in a relaxing and private environment. Select from the one-day or many holiday packages. Lilia Day Spa can create something special for her. A gift certificate is ideal for Christmas and shows her you care. 116 Benson Street, downtown Anderson. Lilia Day Spa, Anderson's premier spa 13 years in a row.
Your parking lot is the very first thing people see when they visit your business. Is yours making the right impression? Upstate Stripes is here to help. Family-owned and operated, we're rooted right here in the Upstate. Specialize in parking lot striping, restriping, handicap spaces, and custom symbols. A sharp, freshly painted lot improves safety, boosts curb appeal, and makes your business stand out. Call 864-376-6698 or request a quote today at upstatestripes.com.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most five-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Leaning trees or branches hanging too close to your home? Even a small shift could mean big trouble when storms hit. At Franklin Tree Service, they believe in taking a proactive approach. Their expert team can assess your trees, remove any potential hazards, and prevent future damage before it's too late. Whether it's removing leaning trees, trimming overhanging limbs, or thinning out your yard, Franklin Tree Service keeps your property safe year-round. Fully insured and committed to top quality work. Call today, 864-947-9065.
Discover exceptional value and reliability at Toyota of Easley, where your satisfaction is our top priority. Whether you're in the market for a sleek sedan, a rugged SUV, or a fuel-efficient hybrid, we've got the perfect vehicle for you. Our friendly team is ready to assist with personalized service and unbeatable offers. Don't miss out on the chance to drive home your dream Toyota. Visit us today at Toyota of Easley and experience the difference.
Did you know the IRS is hiring thousands of new revenue officers, leading to more audits and levies? If you have outstanding taxes, these changes could bring added stress and trouble your way. Take action now before things get worse. Let David Green at Green Law Firm help you resolve your tax issues before the IRS comes knocking. Call Green Law Firm today at 864-271-7940. That's 864-271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal. Act now and enjoy peace of mind tomorrow.
Honor your graduates' achievements with a keepsake that truly stands out. Collegiate Legacy Designs offers handcrafted and hand-finished, fully licensed ring plaques for Clemson University and the Citadel, made by proud Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie. With unanimous five-star reviews and lots of repeat customers, these plaques make the perfect gift for Christmas, recent graduates, or upcoming graduates. Get your order in today at collegiatelegacydesigns.com. That's collegiatelegacydesigns.com.
It's time to discover the convenience and time savings of contact-free pickup with Ingles Curbside. Just visit shop.ingles-markets.com or download the app, and your Ingles personal shopper gets to work with specialized training on how to select the freshest items for a pre-scheduled pickup. They'll even text you with updates. You pull up to a designated space, and your personal shopper delivers your items right to your vehicle. Fresh, fast, and affordable. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Cigars, cigars, cigars. Tobacco Plus in Greer is home to South Carolina's largest humidor, featuring the finest selection of premium hand-rolled cigars in the state, and at the very best prices, too. Hand-select a smooth, delicious Monte Cristo, Rocky Patel or Cohiba, and relax on your golf outing. Swing by Tobacco Plus in Greer, South Carolina's number one cigar store, located at Exit 60 off Interstate 85. Also serving Georgia and North Carolina with nationwide shipping.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co. Roofing text line remain open. We would love for you to join us. Let's get Knowles fan in here on the phone lines before we take Jason's phone call. Knowles fan, appreciate you checking in, man. Hope you had a good weekend.
It was a great weekend, man. We really tried hard during the game this Saturday. So, I mean, Mike Norvell was pounding his chest. Everybody was pumped to play for them, and I mean, it's just a great day to be a Seminole, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
we don't have to deal with all this, you know, coaching nonsense. We're locked into Mike Norvell for another year. Woo, thank you, AD. Go ahead and lock him in for another year. 5-7, here we come, you know. So, man, it's great, guys. How are y'all doing?
Things are great in Tigertown, Knowles fan, to be completely honest with you, but I gotta be fully honest. I'm honest when I break down games, watch the film, analyze whatever. I haven't watched a snap of Florida and Florida State, and I did not find any intrigue in watching the game or take time to watch the game or take time to watch the game back. So I can't give you my thoughts on this because I'm blind going in, which breeds the question, what happened? I didn't watch a snap.
Well, let me help you. So that's 3 hours of my life I'll never get back. So I would just save it and don't do that. Before we get to Florida State, I want to, real quick, I actually just agree with Bingle John, believe it or not. And I think it's the first time I ever said that, Bingle John. But a great caller. But what was Lane supposed to do? He either takes the job or he don't take the job. You know, and it seemed like his hands were tied. I don't think Lane Kiffin's a good guy, so don't like I'm like taking up for him. But I think in this situation, I mean, a better job came along. He probably told Ole Miss, hey, I'm going to take the job, but I'll finish the year. And Ole Miss was like, no, you won't. Now, Lane Kiffin shouldn't act like he's the victim. I agree with that. But at the end of the day, I think it was just a decision. Like, he's taking a better job and he's moving on, and he probably would have coached his kids if they would have allowed him. But I also get, hey, let's not give him that platform to do it too. But at the same, I just feel like his hands were tied. So what was the guy supposed to do? You know, not saying he's a good guy, but I just wanted to get the 2 cents out there for that. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, listen, I think it's a unfortunate situation for all parties involved except Lane Kiffin and LSU. I think, and even for Lane, like, I find a little bit of empathy with Lane because I do think there was a hand being forced situation here, but ultimately, he didn't have to make the decision that he made. He could have stayed at Ole Miss, reignited a contract extension there, and probably been paid very similarly to what the LSU contract showcases. So that's where I lose a little bit of that empathy.
Money thing, though? Because I did see where they, you know, he lost, what was it, Judkins to Ohio State a couple years ago and stuff. Do you think any of that played the factor?
They have the best operating collective in the sport.
Yeah.
I think the Judkins thing was, I'm not paying a running back $1 million, I think was an Ole Miss stance of, we're just not going to pay that.
That makes sense. Like, again, I'm not taking up for Lane. I think it was just, like y'all said, it's a tough decision. You know, like, what would you do, you know? You're going to take the better job, and you tell your employer you're taking the better job. Well, don't go out looking like the victim. I agree with that. Don't go out trying to be like, oh, poor, pitiful Lane, you know?
I don't necessarily know what the right decision was, right? And again, I'm not in the position where I'm turning down or accepting $13 million a year, and I get it. Objectively, it's the better job. When you're in a career path, you want to continue to ascend. You want to continue to climb. You want to grow. You want upward mobility. You want to be looking for the next step and saying, how can I make more money? How can I get to a platform that's going to increase my revenue? All of these things have to be accounted for, and I get that, and I think it applies to Lane Kiffin.
just don't go play your violin in the post aftermath press conference with Marty Smith, like on the tarmac waiting for the plane, and say that you're the victim in this situation because you made a choice. Because ultimately, you make a different.
Don't bring the balloons to the pity party, there, Lane.
Right.
We got you there, buddy.
Like, if you make a different choice, you're coaching your team right now.
Real quick on the Ole Miss thing, what if they won the national championship? I mean, how crazy would that be if he did leave? I've not heard anybody say that, and I know it's a shot in the dark, but, I mean, what if they just came together and won the Natty and he walked out on them and he still didn't have a national championship as a coach? I mean, to me, I'm going to cheer for Ole Miss through the playoffs the whole time. I'm like, I hope they pull it off just to see what his face would look like. Like, man, that could have been my team right there. It was my team. But
yeah.
Moving on to I appreciate y'all letting us get a smaller school in like Florida State. Y'all want to talk about all these big schools and everything. let's give some Division II talk right here real quick. You know, Florida State's trying to get in there, and 5-7, you know, we improved 3 games last year, guys. So I'm looking for 6-7 wins next year. The climb continues.
The climb, I see what you did there.
Yes, thank you. It was a horrible game. They ran all over us. I mean, I think number 13, I believe that was his number, is still running 200-something yards. And our defense, everybody knew who was getting the ball except our defense. And then, you know, Tommy does what Tommy does. He makes a great play, and then he turns the ball over. It was just bad to watch. I don't think Mike Norvell has the team. I don't know what to expect next year. If I have to have any kind of hope, I hope, you know, Cromaw comes back. I hope some of these playmakers come back. And Mike strikes gold in the transfer portal, and we maybe win, you know, try to win some more games. But as a Florida State fan, football is not very exciting right now, and it's not looking exciting next year. Bringing back Mike Norvell, because that decision has been made. Although I don't know who you would hire at this point. I did like James Franklin. I thought he could make you a little better, and I did like Lane Kiffin, obviously, but, you know, wouldn't want to be part of that drama. But I don't know who you would hire right now to make that big splash, and I'd be interested in y'all's thoughts on that.
Yeah,
I'll take that off the air. Thank y'all for letting me get in, as always, and spread that Florida State propaganda. Hey, next year, 7 wins. Go Noles.
Thank you, Noles fan. Yeah, to be honest with you, I think their decision to retain Mike Norvell was less about like complacency within the athletic department and more about money. Like, I think this was a dollar sign decision. You just poured, what was it, 8 to 9 figures into your stadium to renovate it. You funded a $20 million roster. You paid buyouts for coordinators and hired new coordinators. I think the well was dry. I think that's what the decision is.
Yeah, it's 100% financial. And Florida State did the one thing, you know, I won't be as hard on the program as Noles fan was. Bigger programs are doing. The buyout did what it was supposed to do. The buyouts were created to stop schools from spending $50, $60 million to fire somebody. We just got to a point where there was so much make-believe money that, you know, the buyouts became irrelevant. The buyout did its job here. It prevented Florida State from spending a ridiculous sum of money to terminate someone's contract.
Yeah.
The buyout did its job.
I think this was a dollar sign decision at the end
absolutely,
of the day.
Absolutely. This was... You got forced to sign him to a ridiculous contract extension because you thought Bama was calling. And he has not delivered any of it since signing that contract. But no, I think Florida State did the right thing by waiting a year. Just like I think South Carolina did the right thing. And Maryland. And some of these other programs. NC State, Dave Dorn announced yesterday he's coming back for another year. Like, it's cheaper right now, even though we are seeing the money having to be spent differently. It's still cheaper to try to put your money into a new roster than it is to go out and get into this coaching market right now. Especially for the type of hire that Florida State fans would have wanted.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about it. It would have cost anywhere between $80 to $100 million. And that's before you start getting into paying new players. I mean, it's just a ridiculous sum of money that Florida State has been public about that they don't have. They don't have it.
I will say, I've got a couple friends, and this is off topic, and this is back to Baton Rouge. Got a couple friends that are pretty entrenched in Baton Rouge, LSU alums. They're pretty connected with the community and such, and with some of the boosters, with some of the decision makers. I'm not saying anything in concrete. All I am saying is if Trinidad Chambliss hops in the portal before the playoff, I wouldn't be overly surprised. On that note, let's get Jason in Columbia in here. 654-ROAR is the number. Jason, this has got to feel like Super Bowl Sunday. Is he playing Sandstorm in the background? Dude, I don't know if we could do that. I think that's copyrighted. We're gonna have to get you in here with no copyrighted music, but the couple of moments will not be forgotten there by Jason. I don't think we can do that. I really wish we could do that. I truly do wish we could do that, but I think that is copyrighted. We'll get Jason back in here momentarily. Let's get Jason back in here now. Jason, we good now? We good to go?
We good, fellas. I don't know, man. It was like the universe just kicked in. That was like a signal from space or something. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was the Martians coming down with the sandstorm.
Oh, guys, what a long 365 days it has been. But we are free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. I tell you what, there's never a good side to losing to those idiots, but it does make the next year when you win that much sweeter. And I say the next year because, as we've talked about, Faxon, the only time in my whole lifetime, and I'm a bitter, battered old man compared to you, that I've had to suffer through back-to-back losses to those clowns was during the Spurrier run. Other than that, it's one in a row for those fellas. One in a row. And, man, I loved it when Dabo in the post-game presser, he had his notes ready. He was going with Chapel again, and he said, I got my math, you know, ready for you guys. That's 9 out of 11. He said, you guys had all the 3 out of 4 stories ready to go. It's 9 out of 11. So, man, what a great performance from the Tigers. Hey, man, I'm glad I switched my pick to a homer pick with a victory. But and, hey, Hoosier did come up big. He kind of kept the lead for us for most of the game. But, man, listening to Todd Ellis narrate that pick six from Ricardo Jones, I mean, Ricardo Jones' legacy game. Have a game, fella. I mean, he wound up with 2 interceptions basically in the same end zone. One on, you know what I mean, just in different circumstances.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, man, I think you guys hit on it earlier. Yes, Clemson fans, if Sammy Brown is on the field for all 4 quarters last year, we win that game too. I mean, have a game Sammy Brown and Wade Wood has. You know, Wade has caught strays all season long, basically going back to that game last year. Wade Wood has laying out to grab Lenora Sellers' ankles on that sideline run saved the game for Clemson.
It did.
And then the 4th quarter deflection, I mean, I have so much just respect for the way he played that game. There's so many guys. I mean, T.J. Parker. Dude, have you seen the film that's floating around on Twitter, the all-22 of what T.J. Parker did to that offensive line all game long?
It was the second best game of his career behind the Pittsburgh game last year, and I've got some comment. There's one radio show host in the country who predicted Dylan Stewart to regress production-wise this year, and he's sitting in this chair. So I'll take my victory lap there as well. Overrated and not as good as T.J. Parker.
You know, Facts, it might be petty for you to highlight the fact that T.J. Parker had more sacks in this game than Dylan Stewart had against P5 opponents this year. I wouldn't want to accidentally do that and be petty, but, I mean, we might just have to do that.
It's almost like
I did enjoy Facts' Twitter activity.
It's almost like he stat-padded against a bunch of terrible teams last year and was outside the top 30 in the SEC in sacks for back-to-back seasons. Wouldn't want my school paying $2 million for that production. Know that.
No, and you know what? I want to give credit to the Clemson coaching staff. I mean, they had the guys prepared to play. You know, Garrett Riley, God bless him, when that wide open throw to Antonio and then the wide open interception to Adam Randall, you know, that is the yin and yang where you're just kind of like, I know we get mad with Garrett sometimes, but it's like, bro, he just dialed up 2 wide open touchdown plays against our hated rival on their turf.
Let's get this abundantly clear. Garrett coached his tail off the last 6 weeks. That might not be the popular take around these neck of the woods, but Garrett coached his tail off the last 6 weeks, in my humble opinion. I thought Garrett Riley outside of the Louisville game, called five of the best six games of his Clemson career as offensive coordinator down the stretch. I thought he did a phenomenal job balancing this team with the pass game and the run game, and I think he deserves a lot of credit, right? We criticize when we feel like criticism is due. They should have ran the ball more against LSU, and they weren't balanced enough. He course-corrected and fixed it, and he schemed people open consistently the last 6 weeks of the season. I got to give Garrett Riley a ton of credit.
Yeah, and you know, and obviously, I told you guys I kind of wavered throughout. I thought it was going to be more of like a coin flip game. But we mentioned the 2023 game. And there was a caller who got into the show last week saying that he thought that Clemson was soft physically and would wind up getting pushed around because the Gamecocks played a tough schedule, whatever. That was the only part I took issue with. And we saw that, dude. Clemson dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. South Carolina had two big pass plays. One of them was a fluke down the sideline, whatever. But Clemson dominated the flow of that game. They dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides. They were the more physical team, and that was something that was very heartening to see.
For sure.
And so that
hey, Jason, we're right up against break. I hate to cut you off. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm not going to drop you. We'll let you get your final comments in after a quick break. We're going to Michelle and Maria as well after a top-of-the-hour break. Facts and Childress, John Hite, continuing with Facts on Sports here on 105.5, 97.5, The
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.